Blog Talk Radio. Hi, this is Marnie Svedberg, and I welcome you to Marnie and Friends, a place where leaders share practical, helpful, and encouraging ways to get anything important done faster, better, and smarter. Right now, I encourage you to sit back, buckle up, and join us for fun, laughter, practical help, and clear thinking, the kind of discussion that focuses our attention off of the fluff and onto the most important stuff in life. Again, welcome to Marnie's Friends. Let's get going. Well, hi, everybody. This is Marnie Svedberg, and I'm not quite sure that we're live. It says that my show is on but not streaming, so hopefully it will be streaming soon. I think we're going to just take a little music break right here for a moment and come right back with a show. I'll be right back. Everybody, this is Marnie Svedberg, and I am not sure that we're streaming, but we're going to go ahead either which way. Actually, this is one of those days when you just want to go, well, what in the world happened about today? This morning woke up and our website had been attacked for the third time this year, which is just so traumatic. I don't know if any of you have large websites. Ours is very large. We have over 1,000 women speakers over at womenspeakers.com. It makes for a great big target for people to shoot at, and we were hit again just this morning. So over there, it's functioning, but not running on all cylinders. So that's been so far today. And it's actually kind of humorous because when you think about it, being scammed or being attacked with website viruses or being hacked or whatever, they all kind of fall into the same bucket, don't they? They fall into the bucket called, this is miserable, this is uncomfortable, I didn't ask to have this happen to me, but it all comes as part of being in the public eye. And we all know that the more visible you are, the more likely you are to get shot at by people who find it interesting and intriguing to shoot. So we are here today to talk about how to identify scams and potential jams before it's too late. It's a training program for speakers. And we've got some good material to cover. We are having a couple technical glitches over here at Blog Talk Radio today, too. One of our segments with Brian Kaplovich, which I'm very excited to share with you, so far is not posting. And so we had it posted last week, and it's gone. So we're working on that as I'm speaking, and hopefully we'll be able to get that up and going. In the meantime, be sure to download the call notes because we have got some scam protection guidelines from myself, from Brian Kaplovich, and from another guest that we have on the show today, Joyce Farrar-Roseman. And so between the three of us, even if we don't get Brian's recording, which I hope we can get here before too long, I want you to know that you will come away well-equipped to identify what's a scam and what's real. And also, even almost more frequently useful to you, is going to be how to identify whether the speaking engagement itself is good for you. Even if it's not a scam, sometimes we take engagements that are not a good fit for us for one reason or the other. And so we're going to talk a little bit about that, too, how to tell which is a good fit and which isn't. Well, this is Marnie Svedberg, and I welcome you to Marnie's Friends. Today's program is going to be a little different than normal. Usually at this time, I'm introducing a guest. I don't have any live guests on the call with me today. We're going to start with some of my own scam buster rules, and then we're going to move on and do a recording from Joyce Farrar-Roseman and also, if possible, from Brian Kaplovich. But I did spend quite a bit of time on the phone with both of those people, and if Brian's recording doesn't come up, I will take you through an overview, and we will have to make the best of it that we can. And I encourage you always to do that in any situation in your life. If it doesn't go the way you plan, well, just make the best of it because that's the best we can do. Okay, if you've downloaded the call notes either at Blog Talk Radio or over at my blog, you can get there from marnie.com. Just click blog and it's the top story there today. You will know that there are some big scams in 2009. couple of these are carryovers from 2008, but the biggest one that's been hitting my gals over at womenspeakers.com is the London Youth Conference scam. There's also a Gap Women's Conference for 2010 in the United Kingdom, and these are going to come at you with slightly different terminologies. They won't always be the same terms, but they have some things in common that we'll talk about in just a moment. So the Gap Women's Conference, London Youth Conference, British High Commission, and GSO organization. These are all kind of red flag words, and if you are from an organization that has some of those words in your name, I apologize to you if you are not a scammer, because these people are abusing your name. And what happens is they go down the whole list. They just go to any of the speaker sites, not only womenspeakers.com, but obviously, since womenspeakers.com is the number one site on Google when you search for women speakers or Christian women speakers, obviously they're going to start there. But they go to all the sites. They go to all the different sites that have lists of speakers. And they just go down those lists as fast as they can, emailing every single speaker, looking for someone who isn't aware of the fact that they might get scammed. And if that's you, and I get, you know, I get emails from speakers and it's like, do you know if this is right or not, you know? And that's a good thing to do, is check with somebody. And another thing is just to Google it and find out that way. But there are some people who will take advantage of you if you're not aware of it. That's what this program is about. And I had mentioned to the speakers, I send out a Marnie Minute, usually twice a week, sometimes three times a week. If you don't get that, if you go over to Marnie.com and you just pick the notifications or the Marnie Minutes, what that is that gets you in on the inside loop of all this. So in the Marnie Minutes during the past year, whenever one of these new scams come out, I just go ahead and include it in a Marnie Minute. So right away, all of my speakers over at womenspeakers.com are aware of the fact that there's a new scam, and they can just be on the lookout for that. And then the other thing that's in there is all the training, you know, what training is coming up, that kind of thing. And we also are going to help you with many things. So for over a year now, I've wanted to do this particular training. It's so important, but it took a little bit of time to get the right kind of resources together to do it. If you reply to the Marnie Minutes with a question, we will try to address that question either in a Blog Talk Radio show, in an article, in a blog post, in some way. If nothing else, we'll reply directly to you and just answer it for you. But mostly I like to live out loud and have these things be available for everybody. We're going to take just a short break. I'm going to check on the process of the upload of Brian's audio. That's hopefully going to be here by the time we get to his segment. And I hope you'll just stick with us, and we are going to get started with the show in just a moment. Are you a leader, an author or speaker, a mom or Sunday school teacher? The Leadership Club is my way of providing encouragement, practical help, and solid God focus to as many people as I possibly can. Together we are learning how to be all that Christ created us to be, in and through His power and presence in our lives. I encourage you to join us at Marnie.com. Have a great day. Need some help planning a party? Maybe you want to do a scavenger hunt but don't quite know how to put it together. Possibly you're trying to plan a women's retreat or even start a women's ministry at your church. You might be looking for ways to streamline your current women's ministry, all the paperwork and organizational side of things. I've written several training manuals on these topics and others, and each is available individually, or you can access them all as a member of the Leadership Club. To learn more about that, visit Marnie.com today. Well, hi, everybody, and welcome back to Marnie's Friends. We're going to go ahead and get started with the first section of the training, which is my own Scam Buster Rules. This is Marnie Swedberg, and if you want to learn more about me, you can go over to my website at marnie.com, which is M-A-R-N-I-E. Excited to have you here today. Number one, a legitimate query will almost always include a decision about finances early on. One of the first things you can know for sure is if somebody's just emailing you out of the blue and says they're going to give you money, you know, a certain amount of money, or they're going to do this or that, or they're going to fly you here or there, and you've had no discussion with that person, you can almost guarantee for sure that something's wrong with that picture. Most engagements do not just start out by telling you, show up at this place at this time for this amount of money. Usually there's a little dialogue that goes on first. Number two, anyone who routinely invites guests is used to answering a series of questions before the two parties reach an agreement. They have questions to ask you, and you have an opportunity to ask them your questions. It is very unusual for someone to just tell you, here's the facts, this is how it is, either fit through this hoop or we can't have you. Usually by the time that they contact you, they know quite a little bit about you, they're really excited to invite you, and they really want to make it work, even if they have to make a few adjustments on their end. Number three is you need to create some kind of an engagement confirmation. You could call it a reservation form, a contract. Some people call it a contract. It definitely, if you're providing free or love offering type programs like a lot of the speakers over at womenspeakers.com do, you do not want to have it be a contract. You want to have it be something a little more friendly. An event confirmation or engagement confirmation is a nice way to say that. On there, you want to format it so that you can ask questions over the phone or send it to the planner via email, or they could even access it right on your site. And in the training handout there, I have an example for you over at brandmelive.com. It's their speaking request form over there. It's really a nice form. It answers all the main questions. It will give you a good idea of what's appropriate to ask, what's inappropriate to ask, and it just allows you to do a really polite form on the site. And what's nice about having a confirmation form posted right on your website is that even before they call you, they know the kind of questions that you're going to ask them. So even if they want to tell you in person the answers to these questions, it gives them an opportunity to prepare their thoughts before they even contact you. Okay, number four is to have an accountability partner who reviews your invitation before you make a final commitment. So sometimes you could be looking at something thinking, oh, this sounds great. You know, they want me to go to on a cruise and I get to speak and all this blah, blah, blah. This sounds wonderful. And somebody else will look at it, and your accountability partner, they'll look at it and they'll go, yeah, but, you know, something seems kind of fishy about this. You know, we should just check out. And what's really nice is that if you have someone else like that, when you go back into the call to contact the group back again, you can just say, you know what, we are so interested in this. I'm really excited about it, actually. And my team or my partner or whatever you want to call this accountability person, we just had a couple questions that came out when we were discussing it. So I just need answers to these questions, and then we can proceed. If it's a legitimate organization, they're going to be happy to give you the answers to your questions. It's just not going to be a problem. If it is not a legitimate organization, what they're going to do is they're going to get rid of you as quickly as possible. They don't want to be found out. They want to just move on to the easy pickings, to the person who's just going to send them the money. Number five, establish a speaker fee range, even if it's a love offering. You know, this one might sound to you like, well, how is that preventing me from getting scammed? It's not really the scam part that this one is talking about. This is talking more about the speaker jams. So one of the things that event planners have told me over the years that they really, really hate is they hate contacting a speaker. And then they say to the speaker, well, what is your fee? And the speaker says, well, you know, I just think you should pay me, you know, whatever the Lord lays on your heart, or just pay me, you know, I really don't know. I don't know. What do you think? You know, like that back and forth. And it just sounds so open-ended. The event planner has no idea what your expectation is. They feel like, really, you know, I mean, if it was just, you know, the God that owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, you know, they'd love to just pay you big money. But they maybe have a very small budget and can't do that. And so it just puts the event planner on such a spot. If you can just have your fee structure in mind, then either you can say, my typical fee is, you know, whatever it is, you know, your range. And then if you have flexibility, you can follow that up by saying, you know, my typical fee is, let's say, $1,000, but I can usually work with groups. And then you can even follow it up one step farther and say, what are you used to paying? Like, what did you pay last year for your speaker at this event? And that gives an opportunity to have a dialogue now, but at least they have, you know, if their speaker fee was $15, $1.5, you know, I mean, they're going to know, oh, my goodness, you know, this person is kind of out of my league. And that's okay. That's okay. And maybe you're not. Maybe you're willing to go for a love offering, in which case you want to just say that right up front. Say, my typical fee is $1,000, but you know what? Sometimes I even go for a love offering. What are you guys used to paying, or what's in your budget? You know, and event planners are really wanting to work with you. They want to give you as much as they can give you, but a lot of them don't have a lot to give you, and it makes them feel really uncomfortable. One of the worst stories I ever have heard was from an event planner who had called a speaker, and I don't even remember if it was from my side. I hope not, from womenspeakers.com. Please, nobody do this to event planners. But she had called, and the speaker inquired about how much they were planning to pay. And the event planner just said, well, our budget is, and she told her the amount, to which the speaker burst out laughing and said, what are you, like back in the 80s or something? And that was one of the worst stories I've ever heard. Please don't do that to event planners. You know, they maybe are used to having local people come in for nothing, you know, just for a love offering. Maybe they've never had a speaker come in from outside their church. Maybe they've only ever used church women who just were happy to volunteer their services. So just be really super sensitive about the money thing, and do figure out how much you need to get before you ever put your name out there, and then go forward from there. Well, this is Marnie Swedberg. That was the first section of our training. We're going to come back and listen to the audio recording from Joyce Ferrar-Roseman of Women's Empowerment Seminars, and she's got a lot of great stuff to share with us there. So hang in here. We will be right back. Is it ever your turn to come up with fresh ideas for parties, events, or retreats? Check out the fully developed theme sets at ideasforwomensministry.com. That's ideasforwomensministry.com. Ideas, publicity templates, and more. Ideasforwomensministry.com. It has been my great joy to interview experts on all sorts of topics. The segments with branding gurus Linda Lopeck and Karen Saunders provided over $1,000 worth of training. The segment with literary agent David Sanford, again, worth over $500 by itself. The email management training with Marcia Egan was a huge hit. If you're already a member, then you're all set. But if not, check it out at leadershipattitudes.com. Leadershipattitudes.com. Are you registered to receive the Marnie Minute? Have you sometimes missed out on training or connection opportunities because you didn't know about them in advance? Visit Marnie.com and select Free Updates to receive email notifications so you will never miss a beat. That's Free Updates over at Marnie.com.
Hi, and welcome back to Marnie's Friends. We are still juggling here, trying to get Brian Kaplovich's audio up. We are going to go ahead and proceed now with the interview that was pre-recorded with Joyce Ferrar-Roseman, who is of the Women's Empowerment Seminars .com. That's her website, Women's Empowerment Seminars.com. And she is sharing with us her scam protection guidelines that she uses and that she's heard of through the years. So she is the author of a book called How to Be the Head and Not the Tail, A Christian Manifesto for Making Six Figures. And then she also is going to tell us right now, at the beginning of the interview, she's going to tell us a little bit about her second book. Sit back and enjoy. This clip is about 8 minutes long.
How to Get to the Palace from Your Prison, from the story of Joseph in the Bible, Joseph's 14 steps to overcoming loneliness, depression, discrimination, barrenness, and abuse.
Awesome. And what you do now is you do presentations that help women who are feeling kind of stuck where they are.
Right, women and men. My background, I have a master's in psychiatric social work. Now, I do primarily work with women, but also with men or mixed groups.
Awesome. Well, we are here today talking about when you get speaking invitations, how can you tell whether they're legitimate, whether it's a spam or a scam, and almost more importantly, whether it would be a good fit for you. Do you have a process that you go through, or have you heard of other people who use a certain process? How can you tell? And specifically, we're responding to a lot of scams.
scams that have been going on, and they are getting more frequent. I think the one that I found you talking about was either the London Youth Conference or mm-hmm. one of those that you had also received. Is there a way for you to siphon through your invitations and to say, you know what, this one is a red flag for me? What makes it a red flag? What makes you stop and say, I'm not sure this one's...
Look at the terms. Look at how the offer is being promoted. If you're not well-known and someone offers you $9,000, $10,000, and this is your second engagement, a red flag should go off and say, you know, is this... I know God is miraculous, but... typically, you know, he takes you through a process before you reach the top.
Right.
So I think speakers or wannabe speakers should be leery and check. Go to the website, Google them, talk to some people that have used them. Now, if it's just, you know, the local PTA or a group in the neighborhood, you don't have to go through that scrutiny. But when it's more high caliber and involves travel, or if it involves you going someplace by yourself and you can't bring someone with you, then your antenna should go up, especially as a woman, because we are very sensitive, and sometimes we act intuitively because we have that quality in us that wants to help. That, I mean, we're engineered that way biologically. If you do studies and you compare the male's brain and the female's brain, women are wired that when someone is hurting, we respond. But you have to use wisdom so that necessary skill does not allow you to be taken advantage of.
Right, absolutely. One of the things that you mentioned was to Google them. And I tell you, that has come in handy for me, not only when checking out potential speaking engagements, but also when checking out websites, different things. If you just will take a moment to Google it first, it can make all the difference.
The other thing, too, is you can check the rating. You know, for instance, sometimes you'll get an email, and they're saying, well, I can boost your speaking capacity by emailing your next engagement, information about your next engagement to 100,000 email boxes, blah, blah, blah. You need to do some research on that. Particularly, one good thing about the Internet is that it can make you look larger than life, particularly for a small company or a small individual. So you really have to go that extra mile and research them before you say yes, and you sign on the line, say, you know, I do.
Right. I know one of the trainings that we did earlier was setting parameters. A good thing to do is to pull in a husband or an assistant to just scan over it and to say, you know, have you asked about this or have you asked about that? I know for me personally, I used to just hate asking about the money or hate asking about the details because I felt personally like, well, I would just want to go, even if, you know, without those things. And it really helped for my husband to say, well, just tell them that I want to know. And
right,
so
right.
I think it's legitimate for us to ask those questions that somebody needs to ask somewhere along the way. You know, if it's an invitation from Africa, the question needs to be asked, are you planning on covering the travel expenses?
Mm-hmm.
And what are the accommodations when I get there? What should I expect?
Mm-hmm.
Things like that are just not out of line at all.
Or the other thing is, I'd like to bring my assistant with me. The assistant could be your husband,
mm-hmm.
and see how they relate to that. And if you can pull the coattails of someone that has already been speaking for a while, find out from them.
So a possible question to someone who's sending you an invitation and you're not familiar at all with this organization, and they're just asking you to speak at a conference or to come for a retreat or something like that, you might say, now, who were a couple of your previous speakers?
Sure.
Yeah, that'd be
yeah,
a great
yeah,
question.
Yeah, I'd like permission to talk with them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then if they're, you know, kind of reserved and, no, we can't do that, then your antenna should go up.
Right.
Because
right.
they should be proud that, yes, we've represented this person. They speak highly of us. It's a back and forth type of relationship.
Joyce, I don't know how it's been for you, but the people who have invited me to speak typically are really concerned to make my experience be as good as it can be.
Mm-hmm.
They're really shopping. They're shopping for a speaker, and they are also
hoping that you're shopping for them because they realize your schedule's full. And so it's a mutual give and take. And as long as you come about it in a very polite and business-like manner, that should be how they should be approaching you, too. And, of course, sometimes people are just not experienced. But typically, no matter what I've asked, people have been happy to answer my questions. Is that how it's been for you?
Yes, yes. I would say that. They want to. I mean, that's why they've contacted you. They probably have gone on your website. They know something about you. And they want to make sure that you're happy with whatever type of remuneration they give you.
Right.
So they want it to be a win-win for both sides.
And I think that's such a critical factor to take into consideration, too. You just said before they contact you, they've been to your website. A lot of these that are scams, they don't bother go to your website at all. They find you on a bureau, and they're clicking down that list as fast as they can. They don't know anything about you or what you do, except that your name happened to be in a long list of speakers' names. Easy target.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And because of the Internet, you really have to beware that many people are doing that. It's like whoever responds back the quickest and says, yes, let's go with it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, this is Marnie Sudberg. I've been interviewing Joyce Ferraro. Her website is womensempowermentseminars.com. You want to go check that out. You've got so much good material over there. And the name of the book about Joseph, tell me again.
How to Get to the Palace from Your Prison, Joseph's 14-step program to overcome loneliness, depression, discrimination, barrenness, and abuse.
I just love it. And Joseph's always been one of my favorite Bible heroes because I just can't even imagine being poor Joseph. Oh, thank you so much for joining me today, Joyce.
You're welcome.
Well, hi, everybody. This is Marnie Swedberg back, and that recording wasn't perfect, but we got the content out, and I was so grateful that Joyce could join me in advance and get that for us. She was talking about her own personal spam protection guidelines that prevent her from taking engagements that are not right for her or that are scams, and that's what we're talking about today, and how to identify scams and potential jams before it's too late. We were able to upload Brian's Kaplovich's segment again. However, I'm not seeing it on my dashboard. We are going to just try to do something here that we haven't done before. I'm not sure if it'll work. We're going to try to just reload the whole system here. We'll probably be off the air for maybe 30 seconds, possibly a minute. I hope that you will hang with us, and hopefully we will be right back, able to go forward with the next section of the show. Thank you for joining me on Marnie's Friends. And if you don't hear from us for a few seconds, that's because we are trying to upload or to reload the switchboard and see if his program can come up. We'll be right back. Introducing themillionmileclub.com. Do you travel a lot? Would it make a difference to you if some million milers shared their travel secrets? I thought so. So we started the Million Mile Club for you, for missionaries, for people who travel a lot and could use some insider tips. It's free, it's fun, and it's way helpful. Themillionmileclub.com. Well, woohoo! This is Marnie, and we are back, and we have a recording from Brian Kaplovich. I'm so excited. This whole day has been one of those days where I have felt scammed all day. Not really. I had some good hours in the middle there, but this morning woke up to having womenspeakers.com had gotten hit again. Website hackers. You know, that site over there gets several million hits, and it is such a big site. It's the number one site that comes up at Google. It's for women speakers who are Christians. A lot of the speakers speak in churches, or all of them, I would say, speak in churches, and then some of them speak, cross over and speak in business environments, but they have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, and that's what differentiates the speakers at womenspeakers.com from any of the other bureaus.
that are out there with just regular women speakers, and we have the great honor of being number one at Google, but that makes us a huge target, and this is the third time this year. I mean, this one that we got this morning, when the programmers are researching it, it's only been out for 2 days. It's just a brand new way for people to break in to something that doesn't belong to them and mess it up. So if you are a speaker at womenspeakers.com or an event planner trying to use that site today and you're kind of stumbling over things, don't worry, it'll be back up and ready to go here within a day or two as soon as they get it all debugged and figured out. In the meantime, you can pray for us. We're just trying to do our job like everybody else and appreciate your prayers. But I thought it was kind of humorous that the day that I'm doing the program on how to identify scams and potential jams, we are totally not spammed but hacked over at womenspeakers.com, and I thought that was a little bit coincidental anyway. And I'm glad that you're here. I'm glad that we have Brian's clip ready to go, and we're just going to go ahead and get started on that. And I think once we started doing a little introduction, you're gonna love getting to know Brian. Well, hi, everybody. Our guest here today is Brian Kaplovich. He is the, I would say that he is the brains behind the super site called SpeakerMatch.com. SpeakerMatch is unique in that not only does it allow you to register yourself as a speaker there, but also event planners can come and they can put out their needs and have you kind of go and see if that matches what you provide, and you can apply to jobs. It's really a creative site, and Brian's agreed to join us today to talk about this subject. How do you avoid the scammers or just the speaking engagements that aren't quite a good fit for you? Welcome, Brian.
Thank you very much. It's good to be here.
Well, it's great to have you, and I just want to tell you and everybody, I just love your site, SpeakerMatch.com. Gals, if you have a desire to speak for business engagements or community engagements outside of the church, Brian's site would be a perfect place for you to be listed, as well as at womenspeakers.com. Brian, what do you think? Have you heard about these things where they're sending out, you know, come and speak to our group, but it's really a scam?
Yeah, there are a few scams that we hear of regularly, and one of the big ones that's been going around for at least the past few months is from some person or organization claiming to be from London, and they're asking people to send them money so that they can come out there and speak.
Right, and it's kind of a tricky one because they aren't really saying send us money so you can speak. They're saying send us money and we'll expedite your paperwork so you can get over here more quickly to fill this engagement. And of course, there's supposed to be money once you get there. But what do you recommend to your speakers? What do you recommend that they do in order to avoid being scammed?
The first thing to do that I think probably the easiest thing to do is to Google the organization, and often that's the fastest, easiest way to get information to find out that it's something to scam. If you put in the content of your email, you know, a line or two out of the email that you get or the name of the organization, you'll probably come up with lots of things right away if it is a scam. So people are very happy to post their experiences when they've had to deal with an organization like
that's
this, and you'll
true.
Find it very quickly.
Yeah, that's
so that's
true.
Not always the case, but that's a really good place to start.
Yeah, and then another thing that seems to be pretty consistent is that they're offering you something that most event planners don't do, which a lot of times an event planner will contact you with kind of like a, we're looking at you, we're thinking about you. They usually don't just out of the blue send you the entire date and time and place and everything like that without having a conversation with you, even by email.
It's very unusual for anybody to say, here's the date and time of our event, please come speak.
Show up.
If you happen to be a celebrity,
exactly.
If you are an author who just appeared on the Today Show or Oprah and somebody's sending you that, then that might make more sense. But if you're not familiar with that organization and you haven't really been in the press or anything lately, I'd be a little suspicious.
Right. Right, and a lot of times, too, I know for me watching what's happening with the gals and just in my own experience with speaking, too, a lot of times a legitimate inquiry will include phrases like, we're considering you, or you have been chosen among several, you know, things like that.
Definitely. Anybody that's picking a speaker is probably going to be considering multiple speakers, and they're often going to be working with a committee. They want to collect materials. They want to know what your fee is and if you're available, how much do you charge. So somebody's saying out of the blue, I want to hire you. I don't care what it costs or if you're available. Yeah, I'm hiring you.
Right.
Doesn't really make a lot of sense, does it?
Right. Okay, any other thoughts that are just coming to your mind there about tips or advice that you would have for a speaker who's trying to determine whether this is a real a speaking engagement or a scam?
Well, just in general, and there are lots of different scams that speakers are subjected to, and I think anybody that's in business for themselves is subjected to. The thing that you want to be leery of is somebody asking for money up front. I don't, I would tend not to ever do business with somebody that just calls me up over the phone, tells me that they want my money. Be a little bit leery about anything like that. Speakers are also approached often by people that want to do headshots, just like actors, photographers or agencies that want to do headshots and charge exorbitant amounts for that to put together a brochure for you or a one sheet. What else? Oh, you know what else is really popular with speakers is something called I can't remember the name of it, but basically it's a group book. There's the opportunity to write a chapter in a book. You can have your picture on the cover with some famous celebrity or other well-known author. And it may be a reasonable marketing expense for you, but you can certainly take your time to think about it. These books are available anytime you want them. Take your time, do some research, figure out which ones make sense for you, if any of them make sense for you, but you don't need to decide right now because there's only one chapter left, and if you don't make it, then you're going to be left out of this book kind of thing.
Yeah,
which is often what happens.
Right, and I think the other side of that one, too, is that you really have to do a little pros and cons chart and just realize they aren't inviting you because they think you're a wonderful speaker or writer. They're inviting you because it's a marketing tool. And then once you put that down, you say, well, I am a good speaker, I am a good writer, and I would like to have a book with my picture on the cover, and that would be helpful to me, and then go for it if that's true. But don't be deluded that you are one of the few people getting this invitation. It's going out to, basically they go down the whole list and they grab everybody.
Well, the one thing that you should keep in mind if you're being approached about one of these books or you see anything about one of these books is that this is not a book that goes into all the major bookstores and outlets and is sold on the mass market. What you do is you write a chapter along with lots of other people. There is a chapter by some celebrity or maybe a couple of celebrities.
Mm-hmm.
But then what they want you to do is buy copies of that book so that you can sell that to people that are on your list. So you're paying for somebody to put your chapter in a book, and then you also pay to do all the marketing to get that book out to people, and hopefully you'll make some money on it. Like I said, it could be a good marketing tool. You may give those books away for free to meeting planners, but you have to know what you're getting into. There's a couple other scams, and I'm not sure if that's exactly where you wanted to go, the direction you wanted to go, but
sure.
I think it's important for speakers to know. There's one that I've been approached by. I've seen this offer come out to speakers a few times, and that is an opportunity to be on airplane or airline radio or included in an airline magazine. So you can have a write-up or an interview on the radio. It sounds great, but it takes them a while to let you know that you have to pay for that interview, so it may be a couple $1,000s. For them to interview you so that you can be on that radio show that nobody really cares about. So it may be an opportunity. It may be a good opportunity for you to do some marketing, but I don't think it's a wise investment, especially as a speaker that's getting started to spend your money that way. And then the last big one, you've probably seen this a lot, is video showcases. And I know that some speakers love the video showcase. What this is, if you're not familiar with it, is an opportunity for you to go and be professionally videotaped so that you have a demo video. But the professional videotape is done with a fake audience. The audience is made up mostly of other speakers that are going to take their turn doing a 10-minute video. And everybody that's in that audience clapping for them is other speakers waiting for their turn to go up and make their video. It's a fake audience. It's a fake video, in my opinion. I really do not think that it is a worthwhile investment. It costs a lot of money. Sometimes they have you do multiple costume changes, you know, or wardrobe changes, so that it looks like they've recorded several different events. Sometimes they'll change, you know, they'll change the sets, and you'll change your wardrobe, and they move the audience around a little bit, and they videotape several clips so that you have this nice video to show. But it's not really helping you as a speaker to have a video like this, because the idea is that the video is really made for speakers' bureaus to market you. And if anybody's trying to get in with the speakers' bureau, what you need to know is that the speaker bureau will come to you if they are interested. They are not going to represent you because of materials that you send to them. A speakers' bureau's reputation is on the line when they are suggesting you as a speaker to one of their clients, and they are not going to recommend a speaker that they don't know, that they haven't come and seen in person, or had a recommendation from somebody that they really trust. But usually they're going to want to see you in front of a live audience probably a couple times before they decide to book you.
And they would definitely be able to pick out a video like that if you submitted it.
100% of the time they're going to know.
Oh, this has been really so very helpful. Thank you, Brian. And, Gels, if you want to check out his website, it's speakermatch.com. He literally represents thousands of speakers there, as well as meeting planners. Everything from Chamber of Commerce meetings to large corporations, it's all kinds of different opportunities there. And so you need to check that out. And thank you so much, Brian, for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
Well, that was an interview that we had pre-recorded with Brian Kaplovich of SpeakerMatch.com, containing all kinds of great information for us. I learned a lot when I was talking to Brian, and he is just an awesome guy, has a terrific program over there at SpeakerMatch.com, so if you haven't checked that out, be sure to do so. This is Marnie Swedberg. You have joined Marnie's Friends. We are a weekly training program for people in leadership. We do a lot of training with speakers, authors, ministry leaders, anybody who really feels like they want to increase their sphere of influence, and or just do better at the sphere of influence they have, all the way down to moms raising their kids, which is my heart is really for you. I've been an at-home mom and homeschooled our kids for many years, and now our youngest is in high school, actually graduating this spring. So excited to be at this stage of life and having come through that, but want to be as supportive as possible for gals who are in the earlier stages. The program today is about how to identify scams and potential gems before it's too late. If you have a specific question that this has generated, you could feel free to call, and what you do is it'll tell you when you call. It'll tell you that you can raise your hand by just clicking number 1 after you're in. But the number is 646-727-2510. Again, that's 646-727-2510. If you have a question or a comment that you'd like to make, you can call that number and be sure to raise your hand. I won't unmute you if you don't raise your hand. You can just listen in peace. I used to do that. I used to just go down and unmute people. I was freaking everybody out, so I quit doing that. I only call on you if you raise your hand, and the number is 646-727-2510. Couple other things that I wanted to address at the end here, and we do have time for some questions if you have that you can call in. Number one, publicists. We did not address this, and it's publicists are not typically a scam. You wouldn't even put them in the same basket. I mean, obviously, somebody could do a scam and say they're a publicist and they aren't, but
But publicists, investing in a publicist is something you want to really, really, really take your time, step back, and really analyze where you need to be putting your dollars. Many, many publicists are not going to be worth the money that you invest in them. And here's a good example for you. I didn't invest money, but it was an experience I had. When my first book came out, Marnie's Kitchen Shortcuts, it was published by St. Martin's Press, which is a New York publisher, and it had a lot of enthusiasm when they got the book. When they contracted the book, I got a nice advance, and it was going forward, and then my editor had to resign because her husband had health issues, and after 18 years of being with St. Martin's Press, about 6 months before my book came out, she resigned, and the book was passed to a second editor, who had less enthusiasm about the book than the first one did, obviously, and already had a full platter of her own books that she's working on. And before the book came out, that editor resigned, and I was passed to a third editor. Okay, so you can imagine already where this is going. Now, this third person is so overwhelmed. They have piles of books that they wanted to publish, and now they're being handed these books that they never picked. They have no heart for. They don't know me. They don't know anything about how come this book was picked in the first place or the vision for it. And this person gets the book, and we publish the book, and I get to meet my publicist with St. Martin's Press. And they take all kinds of information, and they start doing whatever it is that publicists do. Now, in that setting where my publicist was part of a large publishing house, the competition is there in that the books that they feel are going to get the most publicity are moved to the front, and the books that they feel are going to get less publicity get kind of the leftover minutes. And I don't know how they break it up, but the end result was that all of the effort of my publishing company found me one newspaper article. Now, at the same time, because I'm a pretty proactive person and because I really wanted to be involved in the marketing of my book, I had been taking classes on how to do radio shows and how to do TV, and I'd been practicing in my living room because it was a kitchen how-to book, so I'd set up a little mock-up TV studio in my living room with this table, and I'd have my home camcorder going, and I'd video myself doing this presentation so that if I ever could get a TV booking, I would be ready. And I encourage you to do that, because what I learned was, while I'm watching myself do it, I learned that I'm always crossing my arms across my chest and blocking people out, and there were all kinds of little mannerisms that I had to work on, different things like that. And as you practice, as you study, as you prepare, you will be a better guest than you ever could be without it. In the end, I was able to be on many TV stations, many dozens of radio stations. I was in all kinds of newspapers, in some magazines, all because of my own PR effort. Now, that's not to say that St. Martin's Press didn't try. What happened was they had a lot of people they were trying for, and my book didn't have an editor behind it who was pushing the PR department. And because you can't push yourself as an author in a big company like that, you just don't get the hands-on input there, it just didn't happen. Okay, so for you, when you're looking for a PR company, what if you are looking for a PR company, what you want to look for is you want to look for one that's, number one, got some great references. You're going to want to say, I need to talk to at least two or three authors, two or three speakers who you've worked for who could just really tell me this is so worth the money. Okay? And then number two, are you going to have somebody that's dedicated to you, somebody that you can call and somebody that you can check on, you know, what's the status? What have you been doing? Do they provide any kind of reports for you so that you can see actually what their efforts are and what their results are from their efforts? Do they have anything like that? Or are you just supposed to hand over thousands of dollars or at least a few thousand dollars and just assume that they know what they're doing? And so I just really caution you that while it's not a scam, publicity is really a legitimate business. It really is. But as a starting out speaker with or a starting out author with a small budget, it might not be a good fit for you. This is Marnie Swedberg. You've joined Marnie's Friends. We're talking today about how to identify scams and potential jams before it's too late. This is speakers and authors. We're going to come back and talk a little bit about an author scam that's going around. And if you have a specific question or comment, you could call in to 646-727-2510. I see some of you here, but no hands raised. So if you want to talk, you have to raise your hand. 646-727-2510. We'll be right back.
You need some help planning a party? Maybe you want to do a scavenger hunt, but don't quite know how to put it together. Possibly you're trying to plan a women's retreat or even start a women's ministry at your church. You might be looking for ways to streamline your current women's ministry, all the paperwork and organizational side of things. I've written several training manuals on these topics and others, and each is available individually, or you can access them all as a member of the Leadership Club. To learn more about that, visit Marnie.com today.
Well, hi, everybody. This is Marnie Swedberg, and you have joined Marnie's Friends. Typically, we have one guest or maybe two guests that join us for the whole hour. Today, we had a little bit of a different program. We had some pre-recorded clips with Brian Kaplovich of SpeakerMatch.com and Joyce Farrar-Roseman of Women's Empowerment Seminars, and they shared some great information. There is a call download sheet, a training that includes the bullet points of what they covered. Just before break, we talked a little bit about publicists and how to make sure that your publicist is the right one for you. I want to go back and tag a couple things that were covered earlier, and then there's a note here about potential author scam that you might want to be watching out for. Before I do that, if you do have a specific comment or question, you can call into 646-727-2510 and raise your hand. Okay. During one of the interviews there, it came up about the kind of book that comes out, and you can have a chapter in this book, and you become one of the authors, and maybe even you get your picture on the cover. Or at least for sure, you have a chapter in the book. And I wanted to do just a moment's clarification about that. First of all, there are hundreds, if not thousands, I'm sure thousands, of collaborative efforts out there where there are many authors in a book and it isn't a scam. Okay? And even the ones that they have you pay to be participating in it and they don't really go into bookstores, they aren't necessarily a scam unless you simply didn't understand it, at which point it becomes a scam. But there are many, many, many collaborative works that are not anything like what we're talking about here. For instance, there was just the other day, one of my Facebook friends had put out a little note that she was looking for personal stories about how God had worked in people's lives. And in that particular setting, there's no financial transaction. There's no, the books are going to be, the book will be published by a regular publisher. It will appear in Christian bookstores and through, you know, CBD and all that. It's just a normal, straightforward, collaborative book where many people put in their stories or their input, and that's how the book is written. We could all think of, you know, obviously all the Chicken Soup for the Soul. Those are all, that whole series is a collaborative effort, and there's nothing scamish about it, and it isn't like what we were addressing here. Our comments were specifically addressing the kind of book that is marketed directly to speakers who want to have a book but really aren't in a position to write a whole book themselves. But they want to have a book so that after their program they can say that they'll be at the table and they have a book signing back there. And it's really a great idea. If that works for you, that's great. But like Brian mentioned, you do have to be aware of the fact, first of all, that the book will not just appear in a regular bookstore. It will never just become a bestseller because people can't get a hold of it unless they go directly to that page on the internet. And of course, we all know how many pages there are on the internet. Unlikely they're going to find that one. Or, you know, somehow it's reprinted into a different format. So before you invest your money into a chapter in a book like that, you want to just really, really do some soul searching and say, is this really the best approach for me? Another question that comes a lot is people want to know about self-publishing. And there are some distinctions between vanity publishing or self-publishing. To me, there's just two main categories if you want to get really simple down to it. The first category is a book company that publishes your book and puts it in bookstores, and they bear the weight of the cost of the publication, getting it distributed. They make the cover. They have an editor that goes through it and makes sure that that the typos are gone and that it's clearly presented and all the grammar is correct, all that kind of stuff. That is traditional publishing. Then on the flip side, you have the publishing houses that have you pay for them to do all that. So there's one group, traditional publishing, that the publisher pays you to have that done. And even if they don't pay you too much of an advance, some advances are very small compared to others. But if they're bearing the weight of getting the book ready, getting it distributed, all that, that's a traditional publishing house. Compared to the other side is self-publishing, and whatever you want to call it, it's self-publishing. You're paying to have your book published. There are a couple downsides to self-publishing, but there's a lot of upsides to it. So don't just rule it out. You need to do some research and see which is the best for you. Personally, I would say, in fact, I've got two books that are going to come out in the next 2 years. And one of them, both of them I'm going to go with the traditional publishing, but one of them I'm going to go with a publisher that can do it quickly for me, and they have less of a bonus up front, but they do it faster, and they let me have more hands-on control. The second one, I'll be looking for a traditional book publisher to go with. For you, if you want to do a self-published book, you have a lot of control over that. Kind of the downside is typically they aren't quite as polished as what you're going to get from a traditional house. And so you want to just really do some looking there and weighing it out. And if you don't know how to even begin this, you want to go over to Marnie.com and go to the training archives. There's super, super training there. If you go to the David Sanford one about finding an agent, he offers our members over there. You can download his whole plan. He said basically, if you go through that plan, he could just almost guarantee you that you're going to be able to find a publisher. So I just encourage you, before you do the self-publishing route, to check that out, look at it, and of course, self-publishing is not a scam at all. It's an option there for somebody who either can't find an agent, can't find a publisher, but really has a book that's burning. They want to get it out there, and it's a great option. It's definitely not a scam. Okay, there was one other thing. We have about 2 minutes left here. There was one other thing that I wanted to touch base on that came up during the Joyce Farrar Roseman section, and again, she's from womensempowermentseminars.com if you want to learn more about Joyce. She mentioned about somebody that says to you, I can really boost your speaking or your availability or for people to see you, but we'll send out 100,000 email blasts. I just have to tell you that from personal experience, I did not have a clue. I first of all didn't have a clue. I went looking for a company like that who could send out emails to churches, because that's who I mostly work with, is women's ministry leaders and gals who speak in church, either churches locally or conferences or like that. And so I went and I found an organization that had these email lists and sent it out. I just have to tell you, first of all, they used my email address, my own company email address, as the return address. And so I was able to see how many of those were returned undeliverable, which was an astonishing percentage of what I paid for. The second thing was I got a lot of, like, really angry emails back that said, take me off your list. And the third thing is, you can get slammed. You can get your email account shut down for doing that, for emailing people without their permission. And here I was under the impression these were all opt-in. That's how it was marketed. So before you do an email blast of any kind, you're going to want to, again, ask for some references. I made that mistake once. I won't make it again. And hopefully you can learn from my mistake. Well, this is Marnie Swedberg, and you have been listening to Marnie's Friends. We are going to have the next 2 weeks off. I hope that you have a wonderful Christmas with your family and a beautiful new year. And we are going to come back in January strong. We have awesome guests lined up all the way through. I think we're all the way lined up through March now. If you have something that you think our leaders need to know about, you can send us an email. Just follow the links provided online. And I pray that your Christmas will be just absolutely great. You just enjoy your family. And I will be praying for you, and we will look forward to seeing you again in the new year. God bless you. Have a great day. Bye-bye.